Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Stacy Escobar. Stacy, how are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks.
Stacy's in to share her testimony today. Stacy, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
So I'm from this area. I grew up in Mount Crawford until I was about 9 or 10. We then moved to Dayton. So I always attended county schools. I went to TA, and my parents got divorced when I was 10. So I split my time between Dayton and Bridgewater. I went to Tech and got my degree in Spanish, and then I joined the Peace Corps. So I served in Paraguay for 2 years, 3 months for training, and then 2 years of service. I was a crop extension volunteer. And long story short, that's where I met my husband. We got married at the end of my service, and we now have 3 kids. I teach Spanish at Spotswood High School.
So I didn't realize you grew up in Mount Crawford.
Yep.
Very local. That's where I live.
Yep.
So when did faith come into your story? Was that younger or?
So I don't remember ever being a non-believer. My aunt used to take us to church, to the Ashbury United Methodist Church when we were little. I don't know if that was every Sunday. And then I don't really have any memories of us going to church as a family of five. So I have a sister and an older brother. But yeah, I just really don't have any memory of us going to church as a family of five. I went with my aunt. After my parents got divorced, my dad would go to church with us in Mount Crawford at the Methodist Church. And I was involved in the choir. I went to youth group religiously. Going to church was never an obligation. It was really left up to us at that point in middle school, high school, if we wanted to attend. And I did. So I say that I don't really have any memories of us going to church as a family of five. And I don't know if my mom ever went to church with us. But I do know that she played a part in my faith in the early years, because one of the few shows that we could watch were the two Bible shows in the mid-80s, early 90s, Superbook. What was the other one? I wrote it down. The Greatest Adventure, Stories from the Bible. I don't know if you guys remember those Bible shows. I still have the Bible book that has all the most famous stories. So I still have that, and I read some of those to Teo. So it was always a part of my life. It was never an obligation, I guess, is the...
Yeah, you weren't made to go.
Or... Right. So I never had a bad feeling about church. And when I went to college, I attended a non-denominational services on campus. And I guess I'm sort of like the prodigal son, probably more than once in my life, strayed from church and then came back. So church was always someplace that I could come home to.
So I'm intrigued with the Peace Corps. How did you decide? What's the story?
It's not a super interesting story other than I had a friend, and she said that she was thinking about the Peace Corps. Before that, I had never, ever thought about it. I didn't really know what my post-grad plans were. So I thought, well, let's do this. I wanted to make a difference in the world, and I thought that that was a great way to do so.
Yeah.
Or at least make a small bit of difference.
What was that experience like?
So you live in a rural community, or I lived in a rural community. I guess you could live in Asuncion or in the towns, but I lived in a rural community, and I worked one-on-one with families to help improve their soil quality so that they could increase their crop yield and just overall improve their quality of life by bringing in more income, diversifying their income. But just it's a grassroots development model. Just so that they can have sustainable solutions to improve their quality of life.
That's really cool.
I didn't know, so I was a crop extension volunteer. I really didn't have a lot of experience at all in agriculture. I mean, I grew up in Mount Crawford, but it wasn't a farm. We had a chicken coop, but no chickens, so we played in the chicken coop. We had a we had a pig pen, but I don't know if we ever had pigs, but we played in it. We had like a cow. So we had a barn, but that was pretty much the extent. I did some stuff with FFA in high school. So that's kind of where we stretched my experience to be a crop extension volunteer. I learned while I was there, and so we have 3 months of training. They give us technical training, language training, but then you're learning as you go. And so I was never an expert in the field, but the idea is that I'm able to connect to the community, mm-hmm. to the Ministry of Agriculture, right. or bring yeah. in resources for them. Mm-hmm. And if they had a question on how to do something, or they were interested in planting strawberries, I would go get the information and bring it back to them,
right.
and share.
The connection of ministering to the people, and with you getting your degree in Spanish, that gave you, mm-hmm. I'm sure you were very helpful in that area, being able to communicate.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to learn Guarani, which is their second language. So yeah, I did know Spanish, but then since I knew Spanish, the language training was in Guarani so that I could speak that language as well, which was huge. When I lived in the rural community, a lot of people speak both languages or at least understand both languages, but the more rural you get, the more they prefer Guarani. Mm-hmm. over Spanish. So if you want to make a connection, a real yeah. connection with those people, you have to speak their first language.
So you mentioned you met your husband in the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. So would you like to tell that story about how you all met?
My kids think it's really sweet, I suppose. it's not a super interesting story. And it sounds kind of funny, but I went to visit a volunteer. He lived in a town that was close to my community, and there was a volunteer working in his town. So I stayed with her. We went to one of her friends' house, and we were sitting outside as a group talking. And Adam, that's my husband, he stopped by and said hi. He remembered meeting me that night, but I didn't. He sent me greetings the next day, you know, through a friend, and they told me Adam says hi, and I was like, Adam who? that was not necessarily, but that's technically where we met. And then he played soccer, and I would go to the community games, and that's how we started seeing each other more often and talking. So it's really just, yeah, like I said, not a super exciting story, but a very, I guess, humble one.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You traveled a few years ago. Have you been back to Paraguay a few times?
We've been back a few times. Michaela's probably my oldest. She's 17. She's gone with us the most often, of course. I'm trying to think how many times we've been back. 4 or so times. We would love to go back more often, but it's just for a family of 5 is really expensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've did some mission too.
Yeah, I have gone to Guatemala a couple of times on mission trips. Yeah.
I was thinking like you went to Paraguay.
Yeah.
So Paraguay is I was in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, but I was thinking like when Edie, when was?
Yeah.
Through village.
So I don't know if I technically was a part of that mission trip. I went with my family and they went as well. And Heidi came, the director of village to village came to Adam's community, and then I went out with them to get supplies for the church build.
So it wasn't
me on that mission trip. I did meet up with them and help them purchase the supplies, which was kind of an adventure in of itself. So yeah, I guess I helped facilitate that. But then that was the extent of my involvement in that trip.
But it was close to, it was right where his home was.
No. Oh, gosh, I couldn't tell you how many hours away. So Adam is about 2 hours from Asuncion, the capital. Okay. And this church build that they were facilitating was maybe close to Asuncion, in the opposite direction.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what
was the connection there?
Right.
And
So I was a board member of Village to Village for many years. Mm-hmm. So that's how I was involved in that trip.
So when did you all move to the States?
So we got married at the end of my service in 2003, and then we stayed for about a month. And then so we came back here in January of 2004.
Okay.
Adam just got his citizenship. So I just say that because, so we came in 2004. So what is that, 21 years later?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, set his mind to doing the interview and taking the test.
Right. And how did you end up here at the Church of the Nazarene? And
so I got connected through Kids Harbor. And so Michaela, yeah, this question often gets asked, when did you first come here? And I don't remember exactly, but so it was through Kids Harbor when Michaela was little. So 15 years ago, maybe. So yeah. It's when she was little. And yeah, I've just been here ever since.
And that's cool when you hear people that are either connected to the church, either through Kids Harbor or Hope Distributed, just that wouldn't be have gotten connected otherwise.
And, so. Right. And I guess just no one should underestimate the power of just loving the people that you are surrounded with on a daily basis. And because I don't necessarily remember anybody ever saying, hey, you should go to Church of the Nazarene. But right. There's obviously a physical connection right between the two. And I just felt loved and welcomed and just thought that this would be an extension of that.
Yeah. That's great. Cool. It's always interesting to hear how people get
right
here.
Right.
Just hearing that, the love that you felt on the Kids Harbor hallway was enough to draw you farther into the church.
Right.
That's a great testimony.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We don't realize what a caring presence.
Right.
Right.
You don't have to be pushy. So that's what I've always really liked about anybody that's played a role in my faith journey. Just be an example of what the love of Christ looks like. Not being pushy about it, just witnessing, not telling me or judging me if I don't go to church every Sunday, or because I saw that kind of stuff too. I guess I didn't mention in my faith journey, Young Life played a big part of my life in high school. So I mentioned that I went to church and I was a part of our youth group, but I got involved in Young Life and I had a small group leader, and I remember her name. Her name was Lisa Page Vincent, and I was connected. I was going to the meetings, so, worshiping, doing the activities. I went to Young Life Camp, but I just really remember her encouraging me to go deeper into my faith, meeting with me to do a devotional on a regular basis. She would pick me up, and we would do a devotional, and I just really appreciated that. Taking the time. I guess she was a college student. Anyway, it's just huge. So when we work with our youth and they come here and they attend the worship service, just reaching out to them and just asking if they want to go get a cup of coffee and then, or do you want to do a devotional? Do you want to do something outside of these four walls? I think just really makes a huge impact. Yeah. It did on me anyway.
Yeah. Well, you're so right. And you had experience some brokenness in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that can be really unsettling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At any age.
Yeah.
And so having someone who come along and saw you and was willing to spend time helps me understand why you work with the youth.
Oh.
I mean, you do. There's a gratitude for what someone else did. And if we can pay that forward, it gives us purpose.
Right. Yeah.
I was going to ask, so you used to help with the youth, but you volunteer with the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I know, because I'm in life group with you, that serving is big to you.
Yes.
So whether you're serving the church or serving the local community, like some of the work you do with Village to Village, what's behind the heart of what has drawn you? And you've talked about serving in the Peace Corps. So
right. What
do you get out of serving and what causes you or drives you to serve?
So what drives me to serve now is just being the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to lead with love in a tangible way.
Yeah.
So that leads me to get involved in our community. I want everybody to feel loved and welcomed regardless of their gender, race, or religion. I'm so thankful for the students that I get to meet in my classroom. If I didn't have that experience, I'm just afraid that I would have a really narrow view. I never want to put myself in a position where I'm surrounded by people who only think like me.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. Sometimes I'll hear a believer say something that I really don't agree with. But one of your sample questions was, what has surrender looked like to you as a believer? And for me, it has been, as a believer, surrendering my, I don't want to say political beliefs. I don't know a better word than that right now. But I don't have all the answers. I don't think the people that say things that I don't agree with have all the answers either. So there's been times where I've just have to surrender that to the Lord, and I'm not here to argue with anybody or make them believe what I believe. The Lord's got this, and I know that we can at least find middle ground that we love Jesus.
Right?
Right?
Needs to be said.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, it is really easy to surround ourselves with people that we agree with, but that is not where we grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think that we all have so much to learn, and in today's culture, we have so much of the social media coming at us and telling us what we should believe. And once they figure out what we want to read, they feed us more.
Right, right. Right.
And it's like sometimes I'll be on Instagram, it'll go, do you want more like this?
Right.
And I'm like,
so you
don't know
directly
me.
Asks you.
Yeah, directly asks, do you want more? Do you want more? And I think that we can get so far down a rabbit hole of this one-sided thinking instead of being in conversations with people and asking questions and, well, help me understand, you know, like, and I think sometimes we're scared to do that and to have anybody tell us something different than what we believe ourselves and what, so I think it's so good.
So I think it's a good first step to just really get to know the person and get to know their heart, right? Mm-hmm. So Netflix has a documentary called The Social Dilemma, so I highly recommend that. So it totally, I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. So totally, yeah. It's not new, but it was new to me this year. And I think everybody should watch it. So that totally goes to what you're saying about we're being guided by unknown forces.
An algorithm.
I know an algorithm, right? Okay. We're being guided towards one way of thinking. And
there's no challenge of thought. It's just continual. I don't care if it's a couch you're looking at or, you know, I'll say something that I really, I want to check into this. And the next thing you know, it's on my algorithm.
Right.
You know, it's like on my feed.
I have a student whose parents are Russian, and I've taught her, or I guess she's graduated, but for 4 years, last 4 years, and she's such an awesome person. And we were having a discussion in class, and she said something that I would probably have initially not agreed with, but I know that she has a different cultural perspective than I do. And it just made me pause. And I wanted to know more because that's not, we just see things through our lens, but what about through someone else's?
Yeah.
And it just, it's really important, like you said, just, okay, tell me more about that. So I didn't, in the end, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agreed with what she was saying, but I trusted that she was coming from a good place with what she was saying or, you know, how she felt. And it just, I'm like, well, something to think about and consider and just check my biases and limited lens on some of these topics.
Hearing people's stories is important. I mean, I think that's why our program is based on testimonies, hearing people's testimonies. And when we hear where people come from, what they've been through, the experiences they've had.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. Yeah. And like you said, when you were talking, I was thinking about something I've heard my dad say before. If we're in relationship with somebody, We start by talking about the things we agree about, like you said, about we love Christ, we mm-hmm. love Jesus, we're believers.
Right.
And then examine the things we don't. But even if we don't agree, after examining the things we don't agree, that we're still going to remain in relationship with one another.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can, we have a tendency to want to be around people that we think alike.
It's just easier.
It's easier, but it's shallow to right. a degree. A few years ago, we had a young girl come and stay with us. She grew up in Baghdad, and we were standing in the backyard one day. She lived with us for a year, and she asked me a political question. And I said, well, I voted. That's my right and my privilege. But I said, really, I'm a part of another kingdom. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? I said, yeah. I said, when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I gave my whole life to him, and that's the kingdom that I promote. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know that day you picked me up from the homeless shelter? I said, yeah, I remember. She's like, I was so scared. And I said, why? She's like, because I had always heard that Christians kill Muslims. Mm-hmm. And I said, guess what I heard? I said, but here's the thing. Here we stand. At that point, she was still a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I said, a Muslim and a Christian, and we love each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we love each other. She said, yeah, we do. And I said, can you believe everything you hear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Because this is proof that you can't. Yeah. And she has accepted Christ and is a believer. God gave her a dream, which is a whole other story. But bringing her into our home and having such a different culture and had never been around believers, mm-hmm. was scared of them.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't even know that when she moved in. But I went back to that first night that we brought her to the house, and she walked into the kitchen and she said, I've never felt peace like I feel here. Mm-hmm. And if someone would ask me if I would do that, I don't know what I would say. But sometimes life presents us with opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I would just say to anyone listening, when you're presented with an opportunity to have a conversation with someone you think you might not agree with or understand, ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be open, not to listening. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to respond, but listen to learn.
Right.
Because sometimes I think that we listen to respond when a response isn't needed. We don't have to always state our claim.
Right. There's no danger in learning where they come from, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's no danger in learning their story. Right. There's no danger in learning what they believe. I think it only makes my faith stronger, but it's just part of loving other people and understanding where they come from. And I kind of struggle a little bit with, so as a teacher and teaching students from you know, all over the world, different religions, some of them, I'm thinking of one student in particular, like, I want to be like her when I grow up, you know? She leads. I want to lead with love, and I'm still, God's refining me. I'm working on that. I think I do it really well in many aspects of my life. But he's working on me, so he's not done with me yet. But she leads with love. She's inclusive. She includes everybody in our small community in our classroom. Her parents are from India, so I can't remember off the top of my head what the name of her religion is. Basically, it's she just wants to love everybody and be kind to everybody, and that's her mantra. That's her part of her religion, and it's like, I don't want to change her.
Right.
I don't see. I get. I struggle with that a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to be more like her.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything that I need to change. God's in the details.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that was the. I do. I agree with you. Have to understand that God loves every person,
right?
More than we ever will. Loves us more than we have any clue, and He works things out.
Mm-hmm.
And
our understanding is finite, so I'm just not ever going to think that it's black and white, and I've got it all figured out.
Right.
So I'm going to leave that part up to Him.
Yeah. Right.
And just love them. If they want to know about my faith and what I believe, I will share.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to miss an opportunity to learn from someone else.
Right.
Like her, who to me, like I said, just wow.
Yeah. And I think sometimes Pastor Margaret referenced the girl that lived with him asking mm-hmm. her a question. One time somebody asked me that question. I totally dodged it. I was glad that the Lord gave me the words, but I was like, well, I don't like to talk about that. That's divisive. And I actually gave an analogy that I had heard some, like, I think he was a chaplain of a professional team before, and he was talking about, I think he was like a chaplain for either the Cowboys or it would have been the Redskins at the time. And he said, you know, there's not just two teams on the field. There's three teams. There's a third team, and that's the refs. Mm-hmm. And the refs don't have the best interest of the Cowboys or the Redskins. And he was talking about we have a kingdom perspective, like Pastor Margaret was saying. Like, mm-hmm. we have a kingdom perspective. We don't, you know, not a certain political party, but we right. have God's agenda, which is not of this world.
Right.
And that's what we need to be most focused on.
Right.
And loving others right. well is a kingdom.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Showing his yeah. love.
Yeah.
And not just the easy ones.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's so easy to, again, I'm really not wanting to talk about social media, but I think it's so easy to put words out. But if we can have face-to-face conversations and really get to know the people that maybe we think we don't. And could never agree on. Mm-hmm. I've watched it over the years so many times where people think they would have nothing in common with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But when we bring the walls down
mm-hmm.
and we have a human-to-human conversation, mm-hmm. a face-to-face conversation, and we go, wow, you had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put walls up, we miss a lot of opportunity to connect with people.
Right.
That mm-hmm. could make our perspective, could grow our perspective in ways that will help us to be more loving and caring to everyone we meet.
Right.
So, Stacy, we call this program Hope Talks. What's bringing you the most hope right now, or what's bringing you hope that you would like to share?
Being a part of the worship team brings me hope. So throughout my faith journey, so I grew up in a traditional small church, so we sung hymns, and I love to sing, but with traditional hymns, I would say I never felt like super connected when I was singing the words. I didn't get goosebumps. I probably wasn't really even paying attention. I'm sure I wasn't. I'm sure I was paying more attention to following those little small dots and making sure I was singing not getting lost in the verses, 'cause it jumps all over the place. But when I started singing here on the worship team, and it wasn't initially, so I started in the choir and then started participating a little bit in the worship team, but so there's been an evolution in my connection with the Lord through the worship music. But there are times, and it's not all the time, but there are times when we sing songs and I get goosebumps. I feel connected to the Lord in a way that I never did before. I mean, so I would say that worship music is my love language at this point. We sang, last Sunday? Elevation Worship, More Than Able.
Yeah.
And I got really emotional during that song, especially when we got to the part where it says, can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do?
Yeah.
Anything is possible. Yeah. So that gives me hope.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if all of us in the room with all the faith that we have, all the Lord needs is the faith the size of a mustard mm-hmm. seed, right?
To move a mountain.
Right. Yeah. So can you imagine all the faith in the room, what we could do?
Yeah.
In my life, in our community, so that brings me hope, and it just really convicts me that anything's possible and God's on the move and he's still making miracles happen. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Stacy, is there anything else in closing that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared about your testimony that you would like to share?
No, I don't think so.
It's been great to have you today.
Thanks for
sharing with us. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Stacy Escobar's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.